The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from foodandwine.com, sciencedaily.com, Taste of Home Magazine, and Food Network Magazine. First up, get rid of garlic breath with this remedy. And this is from foodandwine.com. Science discovers a cure for garlic breath, and it's likely already in your fridge. We're living in the age of artificial intelligence, heading back to the moon and on the brink of bringing back the woolly mammoth from extinction. So yes, it's safe to say that science is doing the most right now. While perhaps not on the same scale as de-extinction, a few researchers from Ohio State University are offering up one more intriguing revelation this week, publishing a research paper that declares a potential garlic breath remedy. And the antidote is something you may have stocked in your fridge. On September 19th, the team from Ohio State shared preliminary findings of another garlicky study recently published in the science journal Molecules, noting its lab found that whole milk plain yogurt prevented almost all of the volatile compounds responsible for garlic's pungent scent from escaping into the air. To come to this conclusion, the researchers tested garlic against the individual components in yogurt, water, fat, and protein, to see which one fought off the bad breath compounds best. To do so, the team placed raw garlic in glass jars so that the smell could be detected by the human nose. While the separate components each had some effect, together, the yogurt reduced 99% of major odor-producing raw garlic volatiles, the team reported. High protein is a very hot thing right now. Generally, people want to eat more protein. Cheryl Berenger, a professor of food science and technology at The Ohio State University and senior researcher on the paper, shared on the OSU website. An unintended side benefit may be high-protein formulation that could be advertised as a breath deodorizer, in addition to its nutritional claims. The team's initial findings will likely be used as the basis of further study to analyze different proteins and how they can be formulated to combat bad breath. For now, however, Berenger stated that Greek-style yogurt is likely your best bet thanks to its higher protein content. Just make sure to swallow a spoonful quickly after eating garlic. This also isn't the first time Berenger has gone on the hunt for a cure for garlic breath. Her previous work, the OSU website explained, has identified apples, mint, and lettuce as potential garlic combatants. One more tip from Berenger, try frying your garlic first, as that can also reduce odor-causing compounds. So perhaps a salad topped with apples and a yogurt mint dressing with fried garlic is in your future? Sounds pretty tasty and very unstinky to us. Now, from the August-September edition of Taste of Home magazine, build a better bowl. Protein bowls, also called Buddha and Power bowls, consist of whole grains, protein, raw or roasted veggies, a dressing, and various toppings. Unlike a salad where all the ingredients are mixed, the items in a protein bowl are presented separately. Here are some tips for making them. Start with grains. Use whole grains like cooked brown rice, quinoa, barley or bulgur, because they will help you stay satisfied longer and give you more health benefits than processed grains. Add veggies. Here's your chance to use those weekly cooked or raw leftovers. Choose vegetables with different colors and textures. Pile on the protein. Top bowls with cooked chicken, fish, lean beef, tofu, or even beans and lentils. Drizzle with dressing. Homemade vinaigrettes or dressing allow you to control the amount of fat, sugar, and salt. But a low-sugar store-bought variety can be used in a pinch. And finally, sprinkle with toppings. Add a shower of sesame seeds, pepitas, or chia seeds. It's the perfect opportunity to use a little of this and a little of that. So if you have leftovers lying around in your pantry, toss them on. Avocado and eggs are also common add-ons. And now I've got the recipe for you for Greek brown and wild rice bowls. This fresh rice dish tastes like the Mediterranean in a bowl. It is short on ingredients, but packs in so much flavor. For a handheld version, leave out the rice and tuck the rest of the ingredients into a pita pocket. This takes 15 minutes and makes 2 servings. All right, you will need a package, 8.5 ounce size, of ready-to-serve whole grain brown and wild rice medley. 1/4 cup of Greek vinaigrette divided, 1/2 medium ripe avocado peeled and sliced, 3/4 cup cherry tomatoes halved, 1/4 cup crumbled feta cheese, 1/4 cup pitted Greek olives sliced, and minced fresh parsley is optional. In a microwave-safe bowl, combine the rice medley and 2 tablespoons of vinaigrette. Cover and cook on high until heated through about 2 minutes. Divide between 2 bowls. Top with avocado, tomatoes, cheese, olives, remaining dressing, and if desired, parsley. To cut the sodium in this bowl, skip the ready-to-serve rice and cook wild rice from scratch, and you can also replace the Greek vinaigrette with a simple oil and vinegar dressing. Next up, I have healthy diet with less sugar is linked to younger biological age. This is from ScienceDaily.com. Researchers at UC San Francisco have found a link between following a diet that is rich in vitamins and minerals, especially one without much added sugar, and having a younger biological age at the cellular level. They looked at how 3 different measures of healthy eating affected an epigenetic clock, which is a biochemical test that can approximate both health and lifespan, and found that the better people ate, the younger their cells looked. Even when people ate healthy diets, each gram of added sugar they consumed was associated with an increase in their epigenetic age. Wow. The diets we examined align with existing recommendations for preventing disease and promoting health, and they highlight the potency of antioxidant and anti-inflammatory nutrients in particular, said Dorothy Chu, PhD, a postdoctoral scholar at the UCSF Osher Center for Integrative Health and first author of the study, which appears July 29th in JAMA Network Open. From a lifestyle medicine standpoint, it is empowering to see how heeding these recommendations may promote a younger cellular age relative to chronological age. The study is one of the first to show a link between added sugar and epigenetic aging, and the first to examine this link in a heterogeneous group of women, both black and white, in midlife. Most studies on the topic have involved older white participants. The study helps deepen our understanding of why sugar is so detrimental to health, added study co-senior author Alyssa Epple, PhD, a UCSF professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences. We knew that high levels of added sugars are linked to worsened metabolic health and early disease, possibly more than any other dietary factor, Epple said. Now we know that accelerated epigenetic aging is underlying this relationship, and this is likely one of many ways that excessive sugar intake limits healthy longevity. Women in the study reported consuming an average of 61.5 grams of added sugar per day, though the range was large, from 2.7 to 316 grams of added sugar daily. A bar of milk chocolate has about 25 grams of added sugar, while a 12-ounce can of cola has about 39 grams. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recommends adults consume no more than 50 grams of added sugar per day. A nutrient-based approach. For the cross-sectional study, researchers analyzed food records from 342 black and white women with a mean age of 39 years from Northern California. Then they compared their diets with epigenetic clock measures, which were derived from saliva samples. Researchers scored the women's diets to see how they compared to a Mediterranean-style diet rich in anti-inflammatory and antioxidant foods, and then to a diet linked to lower risk for chronic disease. Finally, they scored the women's diets against a measure they created called the Epigenetic Nutrient Index, ENI, which is based on nutrients, not foods, that have been linked to antioxidative or anti-inflammatory processes and DNA maintenance and repair. These include vitamins A, C, B12, and E, folate, selenium, magnesium, dietary fiber, and isoflavones. Adherence to any of the diets was significantly associated with lower epigenetic age, with the Mediterranean diet having the strongest association. The researchers examined sugar intake separately and found that consuming foods with added sugar was associated with accelerated biological aging, even in the presence of an otherwise healthy diet. Given that epigenetic patterns appear to be reversible, it may be that eliminating 10 grams of sugar per day is akin to turning back the biological clock by 2.4 months if sustained over time, said co-senior author Barbara Laria, PhD, RD, a UC Berkeley professor in the Food, Nutrition, and Population Health Program, focusing on foods that are high in key nutrients and low in added sugars, may be a new way to help motivate people to eat well for longevity. Next up, you say tomato. Whether you enjoy them roasted, grilled, or eaten right off the vine, these juicy fruits are full of health benefits. Perfect post-workout. A study published by the International Society of Sports Nutrition found that the antioxidants in tomatoes can improve overall recovery and help offset the breakdown of protein levels that occur when exercising. Tomatoes are also chock full of sodium and potassium, which can aid in replenishing the electrolytes you lose after physical activity. Balance blood sugar. Tomatoes fall low on the glycemic index, which means that when consumed, their high fiber content causes them to slowly release sugar into the bloodstream, avoiding a blood sugar spike and subsequent crash. With their insubstantial amount of sugar, just around 2 grams, they're an ideal snack for diabetics or for those trying to lower their sugar intake, which it sounds like we should all be trying to do. Easy on the eyes. Not only are they loaded with vitamins and minerals, tomatoes are also a rich source of lutein and zeaxanthin antioxidants that have been found to protect the eyes against light-induced damage, such as blue light from digital devices, and prevent the development of cataracts or other age-related macular degeneration. And I've got a heart-healthy recipe for you, tasty marinated tomatoes. Thickly slice 3 large or 5 medium fresh tomatoes. Arrange in a large shallow bowl. In a jar, combine 1/3 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup red wine vinegar, 1 teaspoon of salt, and that's optional, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/2 a garlic clove minced, 2 tablespoons of chopped onion, 1 tablespoon of minced fresh parsley, and 1 tablespoon of minced fresh basil, or if you don't have fresh basil, you can use 1 teaspoon of dried basil. Cover tightly and shake well. Pour over the tomato slices. Cover and refrigerate for several hours, and that makes 8 servings. I have a column called Burning Questions, and this is from Food Network Magazine. Food experts take on the tough topics. Should I haggle at a farmer's market? Farmer's market sticker shock is real, but before you try to cut a deal, consider this. Vendors set prices that cover the cost of growing your food, including labor. If every customer negotiated down the price, these small businesses wouldn't be sustainable. When you pay full price, you can feel good about supporting a local business. Is sun tea safe? Brewing tea in the sun is a fun idea, but even on a scorching day, the liquid won't get hot enough to prevent bacteria growth, and that's 140 degrees, according to the USDA. You're better off making cold brew iced tea. Combine 8 cups of cold water and 10 tea bags in a pitcher. Cover and refrigerate 15 to 36 hours. Remove the tea bags and sweeten to taste. Can I eat burnt marshmallows? Go for it, but not every day. The chemical acrylamide develops in starchy, sugary foods like marshmallows when they're cooked at high heat. And studies have shown acrylamide to be dangerous to lab animals in very large doses. However, those levels are much greater than anything in human food, so you're pretty safe eating your s'mores. Am I cheating if I buy pre-formed burger patties? Not at all. They're super convenient, but you'll get a better burger if you form your own. You can control the type of meat, we like ground beef chuck, and the size and thickness. And you can also form the patties loosely, which makes them juicier. Didn't know that. Can I use the same tongs to flip food and serve it? If you're grilling vegetables, no problem. If you're making any kind of meat or fish, you'll need 2 pairs of tongs, one for the raw food and one for the cooked, to avoid cross-contamination. The same rule applies to cutting boards, spatulas, spoons, and other tools. How long can potato salad sit out? If you're serving potato salad outside, you may only have a 1-hour window before it's in the danger zone when bacteria grows. To serve potato salad safely, store it in the fridge until you're ready to eat it, or put the bowl in a larger bowl of ice during the party. If my ice cream melts, can I refreeze it? You can, but it won't taste great. When ice cream is churned, air is whipped into it, which gives it a soft, fluffy texture. When it melts, that air is lost, so the refrozen version is dense, icy, and nowhere near as enjoyable. Is it okay to peel back corn husks at the grocery store? Oh, this is a great question. Only if you're buying that ear. Some shops provide a bin so you can shuck before you get home, but you shouldn't peel back husks just to take a peek. This can dry out the corn and leave it open to bacteria if you leave the air behind. You can easily tell if corn is fresh from the outside. Look for tight green husks and moist golden silks poking out of the top. Avoid any ears with dry brown husks or slimy silks. Next up, I've got a recipe for you from the July-August edition of Real Simple magazine, Shrimp Orzo Salad. The actual time and the total time on this are both 30 minutes, so just 30 minutes, and this serves 8. You will need 1 pound of large peeled raw shrimp, tails removed, 1 pound of orzo, 1 cup of fresh or frozen sweet peas, 1 cup of mayonnaise, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, 2 teaspoons of lemon zest, plus 1/3 cup fresh juice, and this takes about 3 lemons to do that, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, plus more for cooking your orzo, 1 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, plus more for the topping, 3/4 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 2 medium stalks of celery chopped, about 1 cup, 1/2 cup of finely chopped dill pickles from a 16-ounce jar, and 1/2 cup of chopped fresh dill, plus more for the topping. All right, bring a large pot of water to a boil over high. Add the shrimp, cook until just pink, 2 to 3 minutes. Using a spider or slotted spoon, transfer to a colander placed in a shallow bowl or on a plate. Rinse the shrimp in cold water to stop it from cooking. Pat dry and transfer to a large bowl. Return the pot of water to a boil over high. Stir in salt and add the orzo. Cook according to the package directions for al dente. Add peas during the last 2 minutes of cooking. Drain orzo and peas, rinse under cold water, and drain well. Transfer to large bowl with the shrimp. While the orzo is cooking, whisk mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of water, mustard, lemon zest, lemon juice, salt, pepper, and Worcestershire sauce in a medium bowl. Add the dressing to a large bowl with the shrimp. Stir to coat. Stir in celery, pickles, and dill. Transfer to a serving bowl and top with pepper and dill. Next up, from Wired.com, I have an article that I might not be able to get through the whole thing today, so if not, I will finish it next month. This is very interesting, and it's from Wired.com, 7 Myths and Misconceptions About Coffee. Coffee is one of the most widely consumed psychoactive beverages on the planet. Nearly every country, region, and culture has its own unique way of preparing and consuming coffee. There's nothing simple about coffee. Those beans in your kitchen are the sum total of a complex series of interactions between international corporations, roasters, shippers, marketers, wholesalers, and even growers who put the seeds in the ground. It's complicated. Below, we bust some of the most common coffee myths and misconceptions to help you become a more informed consumer of this deliciously bitter elixir. Number one, coffee is not a bean. Coffee isn't a bean or a legume like many other foods we call beans. It's a seed. Technically, it's the endosperm or pit of a berry. Initially, it's wrapped in a thin red fruit that's peeled off during the cleaning process. Then, it's a light silvery green color until it's roasted. That doesn't mean you can't plant your beans and grow your own coffee trees. The beans we grind up and brew are not plantable anymore due to the roasting. Even if they were, it can take years before a coffee plant is mature enough to produce the berries that contain the coffee bean. Not to mention, coffee arabica, the most popular cultivar, grows and thrives only in a few places in the world. It's a demanding little plant with very particular climate needs. Which brings us to the next point. European coffee isn't from Europe. Coffee beans don't grow in Europe. They grow in Central and South America, East and West Africa, the Arabian Peninsula, parts of Asia and the Pacific. So, if you're buying expensive imported coffee from Italy, France, or anywhere outside of these regions, you're likely getting pretty bad coffee, unless you live in Italy or France, that is. That's because the best tasting coffee is always roasted shortly before it's consumed. If your coffee beans say they're from Ethiopia, that's where they were grown. But if the bag says they're from somewhere in Europe, it likely means the coffee was roasted there, and that's bad. Roasting brings out the flavors in coffee, but those flavor compounds start to break down shortly after they're roasted. Coffee roasted outside your locale has likely sat in a shipping container or cargo plane for a long time. So when it arrives, all those flavors that make the coffee so tasty in a Parisian cafe have greatly degraded. That's why my advice is to always buy locally roasted coffee beans and grind them at home. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. I will finish that article on coffee next time. Be sure to listen then. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you so much for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.